It's the 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. It is an honor to be here. I know I was in the freshman Old Testament survey class, and I remember sitting there in that same class and wondering if God would use me in some way. And it's humbling to stand behind this pulpit where many great men of God have stood. I just want to give a simple thought today because I'm a simple guy. The true story is, my sophomore year in college, I told Brother King this story last night at dinner. Brother Robert Hooker was my preaching two teacher, and he had a stomach issue that year, and he didn't make it, but I think, but one class all year. So Larry Smith, who still attends First Baptist, comes in on the first day of preaching two, and he points at me, and he says, "McConkie, you're preaching." Excuse me? And I went up. I have no clue what I said. Truth is, I said nothing for about 3 minutes. The other men in the room had at least 3 minutes to prepare. I had nothing. They had 3 minutes, and so theirs were much better. I remember the next time he came into class and he pointed at me, I opened the Bible and I had something prepared, where the Bible says that I'm worth no more than dung. I preached on that for 3 minutes, and everyone was like, "Hallelujah!" Brother Smith came and goes, "That was much better." And so we'll see how it goes today. They literally had an emergency meeting with all the preaching teachers because the preacher boys at Hiles Anderson didn't know how to preach. You're welcome. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I'm going to read one verse just because our time is limited and the Lord's laid something on my heart. Verse 16. Even though it's only two words, would you stand out of respect for the Bible? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And sometimes we quote verses. I preached a sermon in a grade school chapel a few weeks ago, John 3:16, but I wanted the kids to read it. Because memorizing the Bible is in our head. We need to get the Bible in our heart. Verse 16, the Bible says this. I want you to repeat it with me. We'll say it through twice. Please rejoice evermore. Now look at your Bible. Don't just quote it. Look at what it says. Rejoice evermore. Thank you. Let's ask the Lord to bless. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for the privilege that we have to preach your word. Thank you for the testimony of my wife and all the work that she did to help my son. Thank you for my daughter who's here today, who went 150 nights without her mom in the home. And my other daughter back home. I pray that you'll bless her in school today. Lord, we would ask that you would speak through me, even though I don't deserve your blessings. I'm asking for your mercy today to use me in some way to help these young people for the glory of God. Thank you for the testimony of the Moffitts. I remember reading her book as a freshman about the ups and downs of life. And Lord, thank you for Roy being here today. What a testimony that was. That is for me an encouragement to me. Rachel, bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians is a book that I've been preaching out through our church, and we're just in chapter 5 now, the last few weeks. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the last 7 verses, Paul is admonishing the church to be ready for the coming of Christ. And as I look around, and as you look around, I know I'm speaking to the future pastors, pastors' wives, and missionaries. We look around, we understand that Jesus is coming again. And that does not scare us. The Bible says that we are to comfort each other with these words. Chapter 5, the beginning of that chapter, says this, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write that unto you." Verse 11 says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, and even as ye also ye do." He then goes on and says, "And we beseech you, brethren." When we use the word beseech, we often think of Romans chapter 12, where preachers, night bus preachers, preachers in chapel, dorm speakers, they say, "Listen, I beseech you, brethren, that you understand it's your body and you present it as a living sacrifice." And we say that word with beseech with so much authority. We continue to see here, he says that, "I beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you, that are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourself." He then goes on to give some commandments, and one of these commandments is found in with just two words. That every young man and every young woman, if you want to serve the Lord, you've got to obey this commandment. And that is to have a joyful, rejoicing spirit everywhere. Everywhere you go, we need to keep a joyful spirit. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. In the Greek, you see there's two words, and I did take a little Greek from Brother Penn's, and I did it during the summer in the dining hall. I just enjoyed the food that came along with the class. Amen? But the words there mean this. It means to have a joyful spirit all the time. It's an imperative. It's a command. It's something that should never go away, that we would have a joyful spirit, that we would rejoice evermore. Philippians 4:4 says it this way with the same Greek word. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So there's not to be any season, there's not to be any time, there's not to be any struggle, there's not to be any fortune or misfortune that God's children are not to rejoice. And so I'm going to give you just a few thoughts of when we are to rejoice. First and foremost, we're to rejoice in our salvation. Turn your Bible, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. And I'm going to read fast because I have 5 points. The Spirit of the Lord, verse 1, is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. But now look down at verse number 10. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Can I tell you today, the day you got saved should have changed your perspective about life. It's hard for me to see bitter, angry people that sit in church and they say, I'm happy I'm saved, but they never have a joyful spirit. The Bible says, for the fruit of the Spirit is joy. It is a fruit, a byproduct of it being saved and being baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is something that we should live in every day. And church and college today, can I encourage you today that look at your salvation. Visit it daily. Visit it weekly. Hey, when you're going and witnessing to somebody, get a little excited because you're saved. We need to get excitement about our salvation. The joy of the Lord, Nehemiah 8:10, is our strength. We see, number one, we see the rejoice in the Lord because of our salvation. Titus chapter 3 verse 4 says, but after that the kindness of the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Hey, I thank God for what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Some of you might have 10 bucks in your checking account and you're excited about it, but you're an heir to the kingdom of God. That's something to joy over today. But you know, as excited as I get, turn your Bible to Habakkuk, please. As excited as I get and joyful I get about my salvation, I'm also commanded to rejoice in other circumstances. Habakkuk chapter 1. Will somebody help the freshman find it, please? Caden Wofford, do you need help? I can get Jaylen to help you. Habakkuk chapter 1, the Bible says this, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. I want you to think about that. Because all of us have a burden right now. And all of us have a country that we are seeing under great distress of sin. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and that will not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? I got thinking about the 63 million babies that our country has aborted in the last few years. I got thinking about the transgender movement that's being pushed on our children, that your bus kids in public school. I got thinking this morning, I went down to the breakfast nook at the hotel and I saw two men making facial contact on a commercial. And I'm just going to tell you right now, that made me sick. I said, God, why is there so much iniquity in our land? But then I go to Bible colleges and I see people are apathetic about ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I go into some folks that have been saved year after year after year, and they've never told somebody about the wonderful grace of Jesus. Can I tell you that every one of us who've seen our country, my wife was, I'll tell that in a minute, was saved the day after 9/11 here in this auditorium, sitting right over here. Brother Hooker preached a sermon on, would you have made it? And she walked the aisle and got her salvation settled right here in this room. But church, college, how are we supposed to act? Go to chapter 3. Look at verse number 17. This is the prophet Habakkuk. As Judah was about to be taken over by the Babylonians, he says this, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. And by the way, this whole book is a dialogue of Habakkuk praying. That's what we need to do in America in 2021. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. I don't know about you, but that's different than being saved. That sounds hopeless. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. You see, number one, I'm asking you to rejoice in your salvation. Number two, I'm asking you to rejoice even though we're burdened for our country. If the Christians lose their joy, then this world loses their joy, because we are the light. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God, which is in heaven. So number one, rejoice in our salvation. Number two, rejoice in the burden of our country. Number three, I'm asking us today to rejoice in souls being saved. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. That many of you know this parable. It's probably the most preached parables that Jesus gave. But in Luke chapter 15, 1 through 7, there was a parable. Luke chapter 15. Thank you for being faithful to the Word of God, turning as you can. Don't get used to those phones, you know. The Bible is important. Did you touch it? Luke 15, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. We go on to see the next passage is over the lost coin that was found and how the lady swept until she found it. And then, of course, you know the story of the prodigal son, where the Bible says that the father killed a fatted calf to bring his son home to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. You know, I've yet to find a Christian. Can I just tell you, after 10 years of pastoring, I'm just a few years older than some of you here, and there's some students that I am younger than, I noticed today, and I thank God for you being here. But one thing that I've learned after 10 years of pastoring is you never find a person who led somebody to the Lord on Saturday that comes to church with a visitor down on Sunday. If you're having problems with your roommate today, go tell somebody about Jesus and bring him to church on Sunday. Because I'll tell you what, you're going to go back on Sunday night and say, praise God, my convert got baptized. You're going to weep together. You're going to rejoice together. And a lot of times, only by pride cometh contention. And when we are so full of ourselves, we're not looking at the needs of the field. The Bible says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send more laborers into the field. Right. And they're right here, but only by pride cometh contention. Can I encourage the student body here this fine morning to follow the scripture and understand Psalm 126:6 still says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheep with him. Can I challenge you on my third point this morning? To rejoice evermore in souls being saved. Amen. Oh, you're going to rejoice if you follow God's plan. God's plan is as good in 2021 as it was in 2000 when I came here. It's real. It's good. It's alive. God is good, and he wants to use you. I remember just a few years ago, we sat over here then, wherever this tall young man with that nice, pretty fleece is, yeah, exactly, that's you. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. He's ready to go golfing as soon as school goes out. You see that? I'll take you, though, all right? Good, all right, me and you, let's go. Now I have to go to City Baptist with a golf club. Well, I need one there, brother. All right, Brother Francis, all right, he's got me going to City Baptist. But you know, you want to keep us happy. You know why Howells Anderson is the most joyful chapel I've ever been in my life? Because you make keep the main thing of seeing people saved. Good. You know, I've been happy since our administration changed because I've seen people saved. I've been joyful. I've seen my personal converts baptized. I don't like what's going on all over the world, but I love what God's doing in his house. Amen. Number three, rejoice in souls being saved. Oh, number four, you may not like this one as much. Turn to your Bible. I'm just warning you now. Philippians chapter 3. Here we go. I'll rip my face off. Who's that? Yeah. I'm not helping him by ripping his face off. I'm probably helping him or hurting him. I'm probably helping him. All right. Philippians chapter number 3. Finally, my brethren. I love the Apostle Paul. I love the book of Philippians. It's my favorite New Testament book. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write these same things to you, to me, is not grievous. But for you, it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. I wrote down point number 4, and if I can just speak to the student body, if you'll help me, I had a good conversation, Brother King and I. Brother King probably tried to white out my name from preaching in chapel after dinner last night. We had a good time. Yeah. But I wrote down number 4, rejoice in those who warn you. He said this, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you, to me is not grievous, but for you it's safe. What was he saying? College student, when someone says, hey, let's be careful with your attitude. Let's be careful with who you're dating. Let's be careful of who your friends are, even in a Christian environment. Let's be careful of what you're doing after hours that you get home after work. Hey, let me tell you, these guys, Brother Francis, has been a long time. All right, good. Let's make sure I'm not in trouble. I'm still scared. All right, good. All right, we're going to keep moving. He's been a long time, and even he says, hey, be careful when you go out on your bus route that you follow the procedures that are there to keep you safe. For him, it's not grievous. For you, you need to rejoice that someone cares. For you, you should rejoice. Hey, I have an administration that prays for me. I've got a bus captain who's a senior or a master's student or still waiting for that wife 13 years later. I've got him to help me. All right, Lord, forgive me if that was in the flesh. I continue on in the spirit. All right, good. He said, for you, it is for you. I need you to rejoice in this. And let me say this. We need to rejoice in the rules of Hiles Anderson College. Oh, did you hear the... Call me out. No. Rejoice in the rules. Hey, we need to rejoice in the warnings, ladies. I have a 14-year-old daughter now. You need to rejoice in the protection that this administration gives to protect you. I'm going to say this right now. I was not a girl student when I came here.
Yeah, that's good. Bless the Lord. Man.
Write that down. That needs to be on the next church ed test, all right? If you have any questions, never mind. All right, here we go. Hey, listen, we need to rejoice in chapel. We need to rejoice that Brother Wilkerson, I got to be honest with you, I enjoy listening to the podcast. When I need a little fatherly advice, and this isn't meant to be disrespectful, I'll listen to Pastor Wilkerson talk about Timothy. And I'll say, you know what, that's good. I was recently painting a house, listening to him in my Apple earbud. Only one works because it went through the wash, but I'm not buying the Mirpod things. They'll really be ruined, all right? That's a waste of money for me, all right? My wife says gone if I had it for like 2 days. But I was listening to him and just speak in chapel. My wife and I were driving to Joel's Make-A-Wish. We were driving from BWI Airport to Penn State for a football game. The coach there put Joel in the, walked him in and did all these things. It was his dream to do that after cancer. He called him and said, I want you to come to a football game. But on our way up to State College for the football game, we were listening to Brother Abdel Judah talk about standards and convictions. First week of school, I told him here after Old Testament survey, I said, that was really good. Because don't get your standards confused with what the Bible says. If your standards are different from the Bible, I thought to myself, that was so good. But I'm 39 years old raising a 14-year-old daughter saying, Jamie, that helped us. Because we got warned not to use the word standard too much when the Bible gives us a principle of men dressing like men and women dressing like women. That was really good. By the way, none of us, Dr. Hiles, it used to be posted here around campus, all men are my teachers. All men can teach me something that I do not know. Therefore, all men are my teachers. Number five. This is the hardest. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. You all are listening so well, especially that section that Caden Watford. There isn't one girl in that whole section. That is really strange. That back section out there, is there one female? Unbelievable. All I'm saying is we need to Febreze that section after chapel, all right? First Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says this, Beloved, listen now. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with what? Exceeding joy. Would you put that on the screen, brother? Here's my son, Joel. Back in January 2020, we found a tumor in his right femur. The femur is the fattest bone in your body. Go to the next screen, please. You can see there the femur bone in an x-ray and how compromised it was, that even 3 weeks into Joel's, 2 weeks, 3 weeks into Joel's treatment, he stood up to use the restroom and his leg fractured. That's how weak his femur bone was from the cancer eating it. It's called osteosarcoma. For those of you on staff, Miss Foster, she passed away of the same cancer here when she was working at Hiles Anderson College in her early 20s. Go to the next slide, please, because I think my wife put the date down on May 12th, 2021. They did a bone reconstruction salvage surgery. And on that day, that was a nervous day. That was a nervous day for Joel. That was a nervous day for Dad. I wasn't allowed in because of COVID. Only Jamie was allowed into the hospital, one parent. They had his bone was either, there's three options. There was a rod in his leg to take the place of the bone. There was amputation, which really isn't a good option, is it? Or bone salvage removal surgery, where they took, this is your tibia, your shin, the fibula behind, they took that out and they grafted Joel's leg and they salvaged it to where even over 15 months later, Joel can't put his full body weight on there because they took a small bone and they replaced it with a fat bone. But thanks be to God, the doctor said to us, who wrote an article for Cleveland Clinic, who's the head surgeon at Duke in the oncology department, he said, he wrote an article 15 years on it. He goes, it's almost like God gave us an extra bone. And I thought to myself, Brother Francis, this might sound conceited. Please forgive me if it does. It's not my heart. But I wonder if God loves my family enough and loves my son enough that he would have put an extra bone in that body just for him. I believe he died on the cross just for him. But that was free. You can put that in your Bible doctrines paper later, all right? Go to the next one, please. Words Pictures speak 1,000 words, don't they? That's from an inch below his groin to all the way down here. They cut him open. Go to the next slide, please. But that's a boy in a hospital who knew Jesus, who understood rejoicing, who every night, Travis Clark wrote that song we sang. Travis called Joel and he says, I'm dedicating this song to you and a man in my church in Jersey who are going through cancer. Travis dedicated that song to Joel. He came down and sang for him in the hospital that song. Every night, son, before he went to bed, he would play that song. Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I don't know what trials you have. Let me say this. If you think you're going to go through ministry and you're going to go work at a church and everything's going to be easy, you're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. If you think you're going to get out and oh man, I'm a great preacher because I'm my favorite night bus speaker. And you think people are just going to come to your church because you preach on night bus? I mean, I think that's a false sense of your pride and security. Do you think people care if you're Mr. Highlander when you go to pastor a church? Do you think they care that you ran a Southside bus ministry? You know what? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Right.
And I believe I'm talking to future pastors, future missionaries, future pastors' wives. Can I say this? I want my wife to stand, please. Stand, please, because this woman is my hero, because she was in a hospital chair over 140 nights. You say, why weren't you there? She wouldn't let me. All God's dads know what I'm talking about. His last treatment, I tricked her, and she switched. His last treatment. And I'll never forget how many times that young man had to get up in the middle of the night. You may be seated, darling. How many times he had to get up because he had an accident. And nurses would come and wash him and bathe him 2, 3, 4 times in the night. But in all that, Joel knew every time he went back, he knew what he was facing. But he knew that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Every morning he'd get up and he'd play his iPad and the Word of God would read to him. You know, there's a man who's sitting in a nursing home right now by the name of Ron Hamilton. He taught us a lesson. How many of y'all listened to Pastor Pirate growing up? I certainly did. I host a marriage retreat for Eastern Carolina churches, and my first one 7 years ago, I had this great idea of having Pastor Pirate come. And he and Michelle, he did. In fact, Jamie and I called Michelle yesterday, and we don't do that. We don't bother her because she's busy, but we called her. She answered the phone, and we told her we were praying for her, and he's on the end part of dementia. But 7 years ago, he came, and he spoke to our marriage retreat, and he repeated himself the same story 4 times. And Shelley pulled me aside, Mrs. Hamilton, and said, I think my husband's getting dementia. We're taking him to the doctors next week. But look, if you're going to get through 4 years of Hiles Anderson College, I didn't even get to the point where my wife was in a very bad car accident. On Christmas break back in 2001, 2002, where her and 6 other girls from Central Arkansas were thrown out of a car. She came here came back and lived in the infirmary because she wanted to be back in school. And that's when I knew, this woman's special. I'm keeping her. Grab your songbook. Let's sing the first and last verse. May I lead it, Brother Quilto, please? I did pass your class. Barely. All right, good. Let's stand, please. And then I'll turn the invitation over to Brother. Let's sing this song, no? You've sang it 100 times, but sing it with the perspective that we need to have joy in the Lord. God never moves without purpose or plan when trying his servant and molding a man. Give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. Yes, he giveth us. truth is, last night, can I get the last one? Yesterday, we're at BWI Airport, or at Raleigh Airport. Did I give you the one of the, I did not. Where's my phone? Joel, you don't know this, but you gave yesterday a track to the whole Duke soccer team that was flying to play Notre Dame tonight on the same flight we had. I want to read an email that one of those players sent me last night. Joel, my name is JT. I met you today on the airport on our way to Chicago. I'm a member of the Duke men's soccer team. I just wanted to reach out and thank you for approaching us today and sharing your story. Like yourself, I'm a strong follower of Jesus Christ. I believe that God places people in my life when I need it most, and your story gave me a little extra boost on a Thursday morning. I would like to share a little bit about my journey in faith to repay the favor you did for me. My life has been full of surprises. I've experienced God in so many unexpected moments and have a list of God winks that just keep growing. By the way, Joel's never heard this, and Joel's mom's not heard this. However, I may have learned that the most about faith through watching my older sister, Kate. Kate was born with life-threatening immune system disease. It's a condition that's not been documented before and still cannot be explained by medical professionals. Since Kate entered this world, she's been beating the odds. I've been with Kate on her hardest days and have experienced these deep feelings of uncertainty and confusion. When Kate entered middle school, she had a severe episode that took her from Milwaukee to Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, where she spent a full summer receiving treatment. However, like you, Kate didn't give up. If the doctor came back with a result she didn't want to hear, she turned to her faith and overcame her obstacle. When she was told that she would not need constant medical attention and would have to drastically adapt her life around the circumstances, she said, "Game on." Kate has taught me how to walk. She took her impaired fine motor skills and two club feet to show the world that she can travel the world. Kate conquered her wheelchair and has traveled the world quite literally one step at a time. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Kate has taught me how to use your voice. She overcame her speech impediment and learned to speak loud and proud by joining the School of Forensic Teams and giving speeches around the country. Kate showed me how to constantly better myself or yourself. She graduated college with a degree in education with the hope of teaching special ed. She just recently this year got her American Sign Language to combat her growing deafness and communicate with others. How are we doing, church? You miss your mom? And I'm not being unkind. 9/11 happened my freshman year. I'm from Pennsylvania. Finally, Kate showed me how patient and faith God's work will take you where you need to be. Kate kept her dreams close to her and prayed routinely. Now her time has come to shed her light on the world in a new way. Last summer, she accomplished her dream to be an intern at Disney World in Orlando. To be an intern at Disney for the college program. I know I may just sound like a proud brother at this point. This guy's a Division I soccer player at Duke University who tonight at 7 o'clock is playing at Notre Dame, the number 18 team in the country versus the number 20 team in the country. I know I may just sound like a proud brother at this point, but I wanted to share with you, you have a massive platform and big things to do with it. May the Lord be your motivation. You're spreading love and positivity to those around you through a subtle interaction with some boys at RDU Airport. You have made a lasting impression. You're a strong kid, and I challenge you to continue the path you're on, son. You're amazing. God bless, JT. Sing the last verse because it says, "Now I can see testing comes from above." Which one of those boys from Duke soccer, maybe I'll never know till I get to heaven, took that gospel track that Joel wrote? Which one of those maybe I'm going to see in heaven? They're going to come say, "Thank you for enduring cancer so that I can have the joy of the Lord as my strength." Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. At the end of each path. Our family and friends have written a tract. Joel and I wrote it 3 days after we found out he had a tumor in his leg. We didn't know it was cancer yet, but we've republished it with the word cancer in it. Our family and friends have passed out nearly 20,000 of these gospel tracts. They've been reprinted 3 times. And I'm going to ask every student to tell somebody this week about Jesus. Using this tract, you said, I met a boy yesterday. He overcame cancer. This morning, there was a lady at the hotel with special needs. She was crippled. And I gave her this tract. And I said, would you read this? Put a tip in there because she created our breakfast. I said, would you read this? We were walking out the lady at the front desk. I gave one at 6 this morning. Everybody else was sleeping. I might go to sleep now, but I have to go to church ed. But she said, young man, you keep fighting. Hey, listen, I don't know if that lady's saved or not, but she read the gospel tract. So there's going to be a suitcase of tracts up here. They're good till they're gone. And if we can ever be a blessing to you, my email address is on the back. Brother Francis.